Next man up, 102.5, the Game J. Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. It is a Tony Tuesday. Again, no idea why we call it that, but you know, it's stuck at this point.
People recognize my family members as all Tonys, and so I get mistaken as a Tony.
Okay, so there we go.
So there you go.
Yeah, Nick Frazier's with us for the full show.
We don't need to question it at this point. It is what it is.
You know what? I'm going to stop even mentioning it. It's just stuck. We're going to copyright it, and we're going to go with it. We've got Nick Frazier in for all 3 hours today. It'll be a wide spread of topics throughout the show. We will talk some Titans today. We'll actually lead off with the Titans. We'll talk some Vanderbilt, some Vols. Baseball, we got our World Series matchup set. Did you stay up for all of Game 7 last night?
I did. Yeah. I was dual screening Monday Night Football / MLB playoffs, and that's it. First Monday Night Football game was a little lackluster.
Yeah, it wasn't as competitive as I thought it would be. Like, you look at that matchup on paper and think Lions-Bucks, like, those are two teams that look like playoff contenders, and the Lions kind of just outclassed them the whole game.
Yeah, and you thought, with Detroit's secondary being depleted a little bit from injury, you think, maybe Baker Mayfield pulls one out of the back of his hat. I don't know. Whatever.
And you weren't sure whether Mike Evans and Emeka Ebuka were going to play. They both ended up playing, and sadly for Mike Evans, broke his collarbone last night, likely out for at least the most of the rest of the season. Maybe could come back for the playoffs, but going to end his streak of 1,000-yard seasons in a row. Tough for a veteran who has been nothing but consistent during his time in the NFL. But you're right. The Monday Night Football game, the first one was a little bit,
meh.
Blah. Yeah. So I was dual screening that too. I stayed up for the end of Game 7, and I could not stay up for the rest of Texans Seahawks. 9 o'clock Central Time start on a Monday night is crazy.
It's ridiculous. I think they said last night, I fell asleep probably around halftime, early third quarter, and I think ESPN said the game ended Central Time at like 1:15 or something like that.
I got a text from one of my friends, and they're all in Eastern Time. I think it said 1:28 in the morning was when they finally got to the end, towards the end Eastern Time. So it was close to 1 a.m. Central Time. Not staying up for that. I like that it was a pure doubleheader and not the overlap like they do for a lot of these Monday night games, but maybe start the first one at, instead of 6 o'clock Central, 7 o'clock Eastern, start at 6 Eastern. That's still enough time for people to get out of work and get over to the game, and then have it 9 o'clock Eastern instead of 10, which was crazy. But that game got off the rails quick, too, with C.J. Stroud throwing the ball backwards, but the Seahawks couldn't recover it. Ends up being a touchback. Sam Darnold got stripped in the end zone by Will Anderson for a touchdown. Crazy game.
Houston, honestly, I never thought I'd say this, but I thought Houston was good in preseason. They are looking bad. I don't know where that offensive line is looking to protect somebody, but they got to protect C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, when they did, Stroud would put it on a dime to a receiver, and it just dropped. I don't understand the logic right now. This team should be good.
Right. Heading into the year, they were the heavy favorite to win the AFC South, and they're 2-4 now. Colts have the best record in the NFL. It's not what you would have expected heading into the year. And the Texans, you mentioned the offensive line. I understand how bad their offensive line was last year, but completely shuffling it the way they did and hoping that they could find 4 or 5 new starters in one offseason usually doesn't work out, and we've seen the issues with it so far. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'd love to hear from you. You can text or call. Our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. News for the Titans last night as well. Tyler Lockett was he asked for his release and was granted his release by the Tennessee Titans, and he can now join the other Titans washed veteran receivers in Valhalla after, 7 games.
I mean, it goes what? Randy Moss at the top, DeAndre Hopkins, Johnson, and then Julio Jones?
Are you talking in terms of, actual production?
Yes.
I would say out of that group, Hopkins probably is number one.
Okay.
Then you would probably – honestly, Julio was not what Julio was brought in to be, but he at the very least was a productive receiver at times. So I'd probably say it was D-Hop, Julio, and then, Andre Johnson had the one game-winning catch against the Lions and called it quits 5 weeks later. Randy Moss, probably in the same area.
Really? Even Randy Moss had a touchdown, though.
So did Andre Johnson.
Yeah, but...
I mean,
Randy's a little bit more fun because it was like 40 yards down the field.
Right. Yeah. Well, Julio at least had that in that Bills game, the Monday night, the one off the helmet, the toe tapper. He should have had a touchdown against the Seahawks in week two of that season, by the way. One of the worst overturns of all time. But yeah, Tyler Lockett finds himself in the very bottom of that list. I believe he only had 10 catches during his 7 weeks with the Titans. And, you know, he was losing snaps. I want to say I saw he had 14 snaps this past week. Wow. It made sense for both teams for them to move on. Maybe it does concern you about the culture a little bit in that building of like, hey, this is a guy who's always been known as a good locker room guy and he wanted out. But I look at it more as Tyler Lockett probably wanted to go to a place where he can chase a ring. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he wasn't going to do that here. He wasn't playing here. So we'll see. He can sign with any team, I believe, by tomorrow. So I don't know what he put on tape that other teams are going to want, but maybe it's the locker room presence that you want to bring in.
Exactly. Yeah. Listening to the, I guess, post game from the Seattle this morning, Jaxon Smith-Njigba was talking to a bunch of people the people on SportsCenter and saying, yeah, Cooper Kupp, this wide receiver core, the locker room's great. The core is fantastic. I think Lockett, he's at the back end of his career. Why not go back to Seattle?
Yeah.
Take a team-friendly deal.
I mean, we've seen it before. These guys leave their long-term homes and then just decide to head back. I did see a Giants fan on Twitter saying, come be wide receiver one for the rest of the year. And I was like, all right, go. I don't care who the Giants wide receiver core is. Tyler Lockett would not be wide receiver one on any NFL team right now.
Receiver three.
He looked like he had lost a step, which happens at that age for wide receivers. And he wasn't getting open. He didn't have the run-after-catch ability. It wasn't working out. Chim Dike deserves those snaps. You want to see what the young guy can do. I do think that anybody who's tying this to catching the strep probably also a little premature. I mean, if they didn't call him up last week, I don't think he's ready to be called up.
Even if they don't have any wide receivers out there?
Well, it's like, I'm ready for it. I'd be fine calling him up. But based on what we saw last week, if Mason Kinsey's getting the call up ahead of you, that means you're not ready to play in an NFL game. So I don't think it's happening anytime soon. I would rather see Xavier Restrepo on the active roster than Mason Kinsey. But when you're calling up a sixth or seventh wide receiver, it's more about special teams ability than anything you would actually do on the offensive side.
Right. I mean, just at this point for the Titans, you have nothing to lose. This team's awful. You're probably playing for the top overall pick. Just put him in there. I mean, let the guy get a little bit of sunshine, all right? He's under the shed. It's raining right now. Let the Ferrari come out. Oh, it's not really a Ferrari. It's more like a Fiat. Get the Fiat out from under the shed and let him get a little sunshine.
He was Kayshawn Boutte in practice last week. Clearly didn't prepare L'Jarius Sneed very well for that route at the end of the first half. I don't think he's going to get called up. I think the best part about this is now there is nobody to steal Chim Dike's snaps.
Yeah.
Like, what we saw from him in the first half on Sunday, so promising because – again, like Elik Iyemanner, he stepped in and took the immediate starting role. But he's slowly kind of fallen into the background, maybe hitting that rookie wall a little bit.
Sure.
But Chim Dike was picked, 30 picks before Elik Iyemanner? This team clearly saw something in Dike that they liked, and they passed on Iyemanner another time to take Gunnar Helm as well. So if Chim Dike can end up being a threat for you, 4 catches for 70 yards on Sunday and a touchdown? Mm-hmm. That would be massive because the one thing this team has been missing for the last few years on offense is speed, like legit top-end speed. And DK has that. He's shown that. I'd love to see him get way more involved in the offense for the rest of the year.
I think he will, and it's primarily because of his special teams experience. To me, the more snaps, the better. And if you add the equation of special team snaps into this, it only makes him more comfortable on the field. And we've seen it on offense now. I mean, that beautiful touchdown this past Sunday.
Yeah.
You can't get any better
with
that.
I mean, back-to-back plays with DK. He did have a drop, mm-hmm. which it was one of those fastballs from Cam Ward, which
trying to thread
the needle.
Yes,
as an NFL receiver, you'd like your guy to catch that. But also maybe not the easiest catch. 6641 on the text line says, DK has already produced more in one game than Lockett has done all season for us. No reason to give every snap, not to give every snap to the rookie you got. Go find out who your guys are. And I think that's got to be the plan for the rest of the year. Go see what you have in the young guys, because maybe they prove to you that they are the guy. And it's like, all right, maybe Iman or DK and Helm are going to be three key weapons for Cam Ward moving forward. But maybe you give them more opportunities and you start seeing less production and you say, all right, we really have to go invest in wide receiver or tight end this offseason. Because you need to know. You need to know where the holes are. There's plenty of them, but you got to find out what you have to use your capital towards this offseason.
Yeah, and you're right. I think you use the capital towards the offensive side of the ball, because if you go to the draft, defensively, that's where you're going to build your defense, is right out of the draft. And you know, offense right now, sure, you have Cam Ward, best quarterback, I guess, out of that rookie class, or number one overall, that is. You want to build them around vets for the time being. I know you had Calvin Ridley, Tyler Lockett, try to do it this year.
Yeah.
Just try it again. You know, it's like throwing darts at a dartboard. Try it again, because right now you just need to work on that defense.
Well, when Ridley gets healthy, I think he obviously will be the focal point in the wide receiver room.
Sure.
But everything else should be going to the young guys after that. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 5496 says, Lockett's only contribution to the Titans is potentially costing them the first overall pick with his fumble recovery touchdown in Arizona. It's a good point. If they end up coming up one game short, that will be the play that allowed the Titans to win their only game of the year.
That was Tyler Lockett's defensive contribution. Yes. Went down as a defensive touchdown.
Fumble recovery. Yeah. Scoop and score for Tyler Lockett. 615-737-1025. You can text or call. Our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Tyler Lockett is gone. We are 2 weeks away from the NFL trade deadline. What could the Titans do to try and bring in some more draft capital, and in the process, open up more opportunities for some of the young guys? We'll talk about it coming up next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, and Parker Kelly with you on this Tuesday morning. We are off and running here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. The MTSU Blue Raiders will take on Delaware tomorrow at 6:30. Catch all of the action on Totally Hits 93.3, with coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at totallyhitsnashville.com. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you on this Tuesday. Yesterday, Tyler Lockett asked for and was granted his release. So one of the first few expected moves in the roster churn ahead of the trade deadline. If Tyler Lockett had trade value, they would have traded him. Instead, he is going to be out on the open market. But we are 2 weeks away from the trade deadline. Lots of names out there for the Titans that are being shopped. And based on what we've seen from some of the insiders, it seems like this is a seller's market where there are more teams that feel like they can be competitive and are looking for pieces than teams that are trying to get rid of players. So the Titans could be in a spot where they could get rid of some of their players and add some more draft capital. Jeffrey Simmons and Cam Ward are apparently the only two players not on the market. I would hope that like Peter Skoronski is not being shopped as well. But there's not a whole lot of players on this team that I think are untouchable. And the names being floated out there, Arden Key, I think is probably the most obvious one. Like, I think Arden Key is almost 100% going to be traded as long as he is healthy. He did not play last week. If he's healthy, I think he's getting traded somewhere.
Yeah. Even though this team is depleted with edge rushers, yeah.
I think he probably is ready to move on. His contract ends at the end of the year. You're not going to get much for Arden Key.
No.
It might even be similar to what you got for Jarvis Brownlee, like 6th to 7th round pick swap. But you can get something. I think Draymond Jones is possible, but you may not want to trade both of your edge guys, maybe one of them. Roger McCreary, I think, is the most interesting one for the Titans because he is obviously a talented player, former 2nd round pick. He's a guy who I think a lot of Titans fans expected to be part of the future here, but the lack of an extension makes you think that the Titans don't value him as much as a nickel-only cornerback, right? They probably think they can find somebody of similar talent in that spot in free agency or later on in the draft and don't want to pay the premium it would take to bring Roger McCreary back. He may be the most valuable guy that you could trade. That's the one I'm keeping an eye on because, again, you're not going to get a 2nd-round pick for Roger McCreary, but you might be able to get a 4th or a 5th, mm-hmm. which is I mean, it's better than a lot of the guys that you're trying to trade. It all depends on what the Titans view Roger McCreary as long term. Do they think they could bring him back on an extension that would make sense for the team? If not, then, you know, I'm sure there are going to be plenty of contenders that would like to add them to their secondary.
Yeah, and you know what? You could also find a team potentially that may overpay for a guy like Roger McCreary. In compensation of a draft pick.
Yeah,
that is.
Yeah.
Because if there's a team out there that thinks they're Super Bowl contenders, and they say, hey, Roger McCreary, not a bad corner. Let's go grab that guy. There you go. You go, you know, maybe grab a, I'm not saying a third, but in that realm, like a fourth round pick like you're saying, but like, in that realm.
You also have to consider just how depleted this secondary is going to be. Yes. I mean, L'Jarius Sneed is playing, he's playing really bad football for the most part. He has his moments where you see like, okay, he's still got some talent, but for the most part, it's been bad football from L'Jarius Sneed. You already traded away Jarvis Brownlee. You'd basically be without all three of your starting cornerbacks because L'Jarius Sneed now has a quad injury. We saw what happened last year. He got a quad injury in week 5 and never came back. So, can you survive the rest of the season with the cornerback depth that you have? And you know, Jalen Armour Davis has not been good when he's been out there. Your other waiver claim you had at the end of training camp, Samuel Womack, has been a scratch in every single game, even though he had the better season last year with the Colts. So I don't know if that's something the Titans would do just because it's like, hey, yes, you got to plan for the future. But also, you can't send a skeleton crew out there every single week.
I mean, they can. Don't get me wrong. They can.
They could. I guess it can't get much worse,
I think they're already at a skeleton crew. I know that sounds terrible to say, but, I mean, L'Jarius Sneed is a skeleton out there. I mean, he doesn't really move that well. I mean, but going back to the trade options here, I think you're right. Roger McCreary is the only valuable option on that defense. Offensively, you could love it, hate it. Chigakonkwo, potentially. That's kind of somebody I was thinking about.
That's the one name on offense that I think you look at.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's anybody else who has value that you would want to get rid of, right? Like, yeah. And 7288 asks on the text line, do you think the Titans will pay out the rest of the players' contracts to get better draft value? Like, if you wanted to do that with a Calvin Ridley.
Sure.
Yeah, but, man, that's a lot of money, mm-hmm. first of all. And I still don't think you would get high-end draft capital for a Calvin Ridley, and you're taking away at least a decent weapon from your young quarterback. So I don't think that one makes sense. You're not going to trade away any of your offensive linemen. Tony Pollard?
I would be okay with that. I mean, just look at how much this Titans offense and organization has invested into Tajay Spears. They've split snaps with Pollard and Spears. Spears doing a lot of stuff in the screen game, does a couple third down runs here and there. You got to just remember, he has more youthful legs under him.
Yeah.
Whereas Pollard, he has a lot of wear and tear to him. He's had a lot of snaps under this Titans offense. Yeah, send him to somebody that needs a potential back.
I think it would be more if Tony Pollard asked for a trade.
Yeah.
I don't think the Titans will be looking for a trade, but if Tony Pollard says, hey, you know, I know you're probably going to cut me after this season. I'd like to go get a fresh start somewhere else. Maybe that's a situation, but on the offensive side, most of it comes back to, it doesn't make sense to take things away from your rookie quarterback
right.
when you're trying to develop him.
Right.
I think Chigakonkwo is the only one that kind of makes sense. If you want to say, this is the Gunnar Helm show at tight end for the rest of the year, and you can get David Martin Robinson some reps, but that one is the only one that I can see making sense. I think a lot of the moves that they would make would be on the defensive side of the ball.
Absolutely. And you, real quick on Tony Pollard, like you look at this league in the NFL, running backs, you can grab them anywhere. At a free agency, like, grab them off the street. That's just how running back market is in a roundabout way. Look at the Arizona Cardinals. They need a top-end running back. They have a three-headed horse back there. Not really working out well for them. I'm not saying offload Tony Pollard to Arizona, but you find teams like that that need that extra oomph at that running back position. I think those are the teams you have to target.
Well, you look at the Chargers. Amarian Hampton's on IR. You don't know when he might come back. And they're running with Kamani Vidal and Hassan Haskins, Titans legend. So maybe that's a spot where they would want a veteran running back as they've kind of slipped the last few weeks after a strong start to the year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you're looking for offensive names, Pollard and Chig, I think, are the only two that even remotely make sense. Again, you're not going to trade any of your offensive linemen. Dylan on the text line says, I would rather keep Peter over even Simmons. Peter is a young offensive lineman who's getting better and a core piece of the line in which you need to protect Cam Ward. I agree. I think Peter Skoronski, if you're looking for untouchable assets, Peter Skoronski should be in that too, unless somebody offers you something ridiculous.
I mean, what about Kevin Zeitler?
If somebody wants Zeitler, they can take him.
Okay. But I mean, because you mentioned no offensive lineman, I'm like, wait a minute, there's Zeitler over there.
I mean, he has been the worst offensive lineman for the Titans this year, which is not something I thought I would say heading into the year. Like, he has not been good, and it happens to every player when they just take a step back, and at 35 years old, he's gone from being a really solid guard to a below-average guard. And if you wanted to make that trade, if somebody, maybe the Lions want him back, they need some help in the interior, you could get day three pick and maybe get Jackson Slater some reps. Again, it's like Zeitler's been bad. Can it hurt to let the young guy have a chance? I'm going to ask TD about that on Thursday because I don't know what his thoughts would be. But, yeah, I think maybe you include Zeitler in that conversation. But defensively, it's going to be – I think Key is most likely to be gone of anybody. I think McCreary would probably be next. And then you get into, you know, Draymond Jones and – maybe they take advantage of the way Jihad Ward's been playing and try and parlay that into a pick if somebody's willing to give it to him. I don't know. 0835 says, trade Big Jeff. We need anything we can get at this point. I understand the sentiment, and that was my thoughts too, was like, hey, he may not be part of the next iteration of a winning Titans team. Trade him at his highest value. But, man, this defense would fall apart without him.
Yeah, and obviously the whole hamstring thing that happened this past Sunday, you kind of needed him healthy before the deadline. With him not being healthy before the deadline, having a bum hamstring kind of devalues you a little bit. And I was telling you before the show, this has, you could say it has a little context to it, maybe not. Mike Vrabel was on his little Patriots shit talk show or whatever, and he was saying that, you know, Jeffrey Simmons, bum hamstring, I get it, whatever. But, you know, some guys come back crying or some guys come back with a happy face on. So I think there's a little cryptic message back behind.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that that Mike Vrabel would love to trade for Jeffrey Simmons if he could. Yeah. But, you know, I think it's one of those things that you got to set your price way up there. Sure. And if they don't meet it, then there's no chance. And they've said that he is off limits as of right now. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have thoughts, we'd love to hear from you. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll continue to get to your texts. The Titans have said that they want 30 draft picks over 3 years, including last year's draft. 12 of those in the top 100. Right now, they're not close to that. How do they get towards that number? We'll talk about it coming up next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Preds Fan Smashville Live returns Wednesday night at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue at 6 p.m. See your Predators star players up close and personal and also get autographs and pictures. The Preds player guest will be Adam Willsby. That's this Wednesday night at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue and only on 102.5 The Game. We'll talk some Preds later in the show as they open up a 5-game homestand tonight, starting off against the Anaheim Ducks. 9 of 11. At home for the Preds, so lots of chances to get out there to Bridgestone Arena over the next couple of weeks. We are talking Titans to start the show. The trade deadline is 2 weeks away, and the Titans have plenty of options to trade away some players and add some draft capital. Now, again, unless you trade Jeffrey Simmons, you're not getting a first-round pick, a second-round pick for any of these guys. But you can start to amass draft capital, and maybe you end up with a couple fifths that you can turn into a fourth, or, you know, a couple fourths that you could get into the top 100 with, or something like that. Maybe, you know, the pick that they traded up to get Elik Iemanner, the Ravens basically just gave it away to them. So you never know what could happen on draft day if you continue to amass draft capital.
Yeah, I mean, the Titans obviously don't have a lot in the top 100 right now. I mean, you mentioned it. They're only three. They need at least six.
Six?
I think they need three more in the top 100.
Which, that would get them closer to that goal. Chad Brinker, Mike Borgonzi, when they hired Borgonzi in January of this past year, they said that over the next 3 years, so that includes last year's draft, this year's draft, and next year's draft, 2025, 26, 27, they want 30 total picks and 12 in the top 100. They made three in the top 100. They were able to create one with that trade back from their second round pick, ended up taking Femi Oladejo and Kevin Winston Jr. This year, right now, you have your own first, your own second, your own third, but that's it in the top 100. Easiest way to add more draft capital, of course, is if you end up with a high pick, you can trade back, add a couple more seconds, maybe a first in next year's draft. That would be great. But you don't know where you're going to be picking.
Right.
You expect it's going to be high. But you also need a dance partner if you're picking that high and you want to trade back. And, you know, the way the quarterback class is looking right now, there's not just a horde of players at the top who it's like, somebody's coming up and going to trade multiple first-round picks to come get that guy.
Right.
Like, 2 years ago, if the Bears, the Commanders, or the Patriots wanted to trade out with Williams, Daniels, and May up there, you could have gotten a King's Ransom from any of those picks. Doesn't seem like there's going to be three or four quarterbacks worthy of top five picks in this year's draft.
No, I think the only one that comes to mind right now who's been probably the hottest quarterback in college football is Ty Simpson. I mean, that guy's been playing lights-out football, you know? I mean, other than that, Lenore Sellers had some preseason flash to it, but nothing really is taken in stride with that. There's only one right now. I mean, John Mateer was up there for me, but I know Parker was high on him, but his little hand injury has kind of deterred his value as well. So,
well, it's crazy that we've gone from five guys that we thought, man, these guys all could be the first overall pick, and honestly, none of them are in that conversation anymore. It's different guys who have stepped in. Like, Fernando Mendoza might be considered the top pick in the draft now with what he's doing at Indiana. And Dante Moore from Oregon, we weren't talking about much. He's maybe started to enter that conversation. Ty Simpson's draft eligible, right?
Yeah.
So if he goes and wins the Heisman, maybe there's a team that wants it. Like, there are other guys who are coming in, but your Klubnicks and Nussmeyers and Mannings and even Lenora Sellers, like, they just haven't lived up to the hype this year.
Yeah. You really hope the Saints are not picking at number two if the Titans are picking at one in the draft, because then you can't play a good poker hand because they need another quarterback.
Well, if the Titans are picking number one, there will be somebody who wants to come up, because somebody is going, there's enough quarterbacks there that somebody's going to pull away from the field, right? Yeah. Like, there's going to be a quarterback that somebody deems worthy of the number one pick. But right now the Jets are 0-7. If they have the number one pick, they're taking a quarterback. Are there going to be two guys up there that teams want to come up and trade a King's Ransom to go get? That's the question, which is why this trade deadline becomes important, because, yeah, you may not be able to add multiple top 100 picks, but can you get a bunch of back-end picks and maybe be able to use that to move back up? If you could get a fourth for a Roger McCreary, which I think is reasonable, possibly, it's an expiring contract, so maybe you trade one of your sixth to get a fourth or something like that. I don't know. But that's how you start to amass this draft capital and hopefully be able to get towards that number of 12 top 100 picks over 3 years. You made three last year. That means if you want to get to that number, and I know it's an arbitrary number they threw out there, you need nine in the next 2 years.
Yeah.
Which likely means you got to trade out of your first-round pick this year. But there's another way to manufacture some of those picks from the back end of the draft as well.
Yeah, and, you know, looking at that, you could probably somehow package in getting rid of your first-round pick this year and somehow trading back. Let's say you get a first-round pick next year and then maybe package a second and a third somewhere in this upcoming draft.
It's going to be tough to get to those pretty optimistic numbers of 30 and 12, because they only made seven picks in this past year's draft.
Sounds about right.
Eight. They made eight picks in this year's draft. So you need 22 over the next 2 years, which right now you only have seven in this year's draft.
Right.
There has to be a ton of wheeling and dealing done if you're going to reach those numbers. Again, arbitrary numbers that they just threw out there. But if that's the plan that they see that can get this team back into relevancy, that's what you need to do. You need to trade some of these assets, get yourself picks. And I would say, unless it is something like, hey, we'll send Roger McCreary in one of our sixth for a fourth, you need clean picks back. Mm-hmm. Like, pick swaps don't do you all that much good. You need to get some clean picks back for some of these players. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 6641 says, I have a segment idea for you all. Who on this current team will be on the team when the new stadium opens? Whatever player ends up on that list, we put extra focus on as the season goes on. Anyone not on, let's get rid of them for anything you can get for them. It's funny because me and TD did that a couple of weeks ago of who is going to be on this team when the new stadium opens up. And the list is much shorter than you would expect. Cam Ward, Peter Skoronski, you hope J.C. Latham.
You hope.
And then the three rookie pass catchers, I think you hope. Your two rookies on defense, Femi Oladejo and Kevin Winston. Again, you pick those guys in the top 100. If they're not on your team in 2 years, you're in trouble. So what's that, 8?
Yes.
Anybody else that you're 100% sure?
I mean, Gunnar Helm for sure.
Well, yeah. Helm, the three rookie pass catchers.
Oh, okay.
So Helm, DK, Iamanner.
I missed that.
On defense, I think you look at the interior of the line and you say, maybe Sweat. TD didn't seem so sure, but
yeah.
Sweat did come back from the injury and played well on Sunday. So
I think Cedric Gray is somewhere you can put on that list.
He's been playing well. So yep. Cedric Gray. And then the big question is Jeff Simmons. Like, is Jeff Simmons going to be part of that next core, right?
Yeah.
So that it's a big question. And TD and I only came up with 7. We found 10 there. I think you add Sweat, you add Gray, you add maybe Simmons. But outside of that, there's not a whole lot of promise on this team. Those guys all have to hit. 664 and says, sorry, I missed the segment with TD. If you want to, I believe it was 2 Thursdays ago, like mid-September. So you can go check that out on the podcast if you want to hear TD's thoughts on who might be around for the next version of this core. Ben on the text line says, I know it probably won't happen, but why not just draft another quarterback and see which one is better capable of taking the snaps over the next 2 seasons, Ben? Because, like, you need that pick.
You're wasting opportunities.
Is that Easton Freeze's burner?
I mean, you tried the, let's just pick a quarterback and see what happens with Malik Willis and Will Levis.
Nah.
And, man, could you really use an extra third-round level player, an extra 35th overall level player that you took those guys with? Like, I understand the idea of, hey, you can never take too many shots at a quarterback, but when you took Cam Ward number 1, you committed to him for at least 2 seasons, probably 3.
Yeah.
Unless he's a disaster after 2 seasons. He's going to be the starting quarterback next year. They're going to get rid of Will Levis. I mean, he basically is already gone, but Will Levis is not going to be part of the team. Maybe you bring in a more competent backup next year, but, you know, any conversation about finding a new starting quarterback, it's not going to happen. Cam Ward is going to be the starting quarterback week 1 of 2026, barring injury.
Right.
So,
look, and I'm not trying to go off script here at all, but like, if I were the GM of the Tennessee Titans, or I would be the controlling person when it comes to draft capital, you get ready. Say if the first overall pick or first round pick is a top 5 pick, you trade it back. That first round pick has to be compensated for next year. It's almost as if you have to sacrifice any opportunities in this year's draft because, like you have here, they currently have 7 draft picks in this year's draft.
Yeah.
Out of those 7, make sure you emphasize your scouting department that they can draft well this year, and then you can start opening up the realm of, yeah, we can get more top 100 picks next year.
Yeah. I think, you know,
it's like 1-2, skip a few.
Yeah. 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 And you take Cam Ward number 1 overall, you can't use your first round pick on a quarterback back to back years.
Right.
I know the Cardinals did it back in 2019, but felt like that was a different kind of situation. Where Josh Rosen, I think it was pretty clear that dude didn't have the mental makeup to be great or the heart. So I get it's been done before, but that pick is way more valuable trying to build around Cam Ward than trying to replace Cam Ward.
Right.
Justin from Greenbrier says, how terrible are we that in October with 11 games left and we are talking about tearing down the team to get draft capital? What a joy it will be to watch the rest of the season. Well, Justin, I have at least some good news for you. There's actually only 10 games left, so you don't have to watch that extra one. Jay from Laverne says, doesn't matter who or how many draft picks, they can't develop players. They ruin them or trade them away. I mean, if you want to think like that, then this team will never be good again.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got to figure it out. You got to get the right people in here with the right coach. Last text before we move on here. Ben says maybe the new coach will want a different quarterback. then he's not going to be the next coach.
The right? cycle like, will continue.
No, but like it's if you bring in, let's say, Cliff Kingsbury and you interview him and you say, what are your thoughts on Cam Ward? And he's like, I'm not really sold on him. I think maybe we go in a different direction. Guess what? He's not going to be the next head coach.
Yeah.
They're going to go find somebody who believes in Cam Ward and can develop Cam Ward. You took him first overall. First overall. They are building around Cam Ward for at least next season, at the very least. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll talk more Titans throughout the show. Titans getting ready to take on the Colts as two touchdown underdogs on the road in Indy on Sunday. So get excited for that on Sunday afternoon up there at Lucas Oil Stadium. But quickly, before we wrap up the hour, we have a World Series matchup. Blue Jays beating the Mariners in Game 7 of the ALCS last night. We'll talk about the World Series, Dodgers and Toronto, and the implications of what could happen if the Dodgers win a second straight World Series. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game, wrapping up the first hour of the show on this Tony Tuesday with Nick Frazier. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you here. Talk Titans to start the show, but we got about 5 minutes to wrap up this hour. So the World Series is set. Blue Jays on a George Springer clutch, three-run home run, able to beat the Mariners in Game 7 yesterday. Toronto going to the World Series to take on the Los Angeles Dodgers. And I think the Dodgers are going to win. The only thing that I can think of that, you know, you have some hope for the Blue Jays is teams that sweep the championship series typically aren't very good in the World Series. I saw that firsthand in 2012. The Tigers swept the Yankees in the ALCS and then got swept by the Giants in the World Series. So the time off is a factor. I believe it's 6 days for the Dodgers between Game 4 of the NLCS to Game 1 of the World Series on Friday. So lots of time to, you know,
rest up.
Kind of just, yeah, rest up, but it's the rust versus rest debate. But this is less about who's going to win and more about the implications of another Dodgers World Series championship. With all of the money that they're spending, all of the deferred money in these contracts. I mean, Shohei Ohtani is making $2 million a year right now. And for the 10 years after he plays for the Dodgers, he will make $68 million a year. It is, there's really no rules when it comes to this. And another Dodgers World Series, I think, would almost guarantee that the owners push for a salary cap when the CBA is up after next season. And that almost certainly means, you know, maybe there's a compromise that's found. I think we are getting dangerously close to no baseball in 2027.
I think the only thing that stops me from agreeing with that is I read an article the other day, and it was about postseason baseball and the Dodgers, and it was Shohei Ohtani specifically about his contract. The Dodgers made back every single penny and then some with his deferred contract from ticket sales alone.
Yep.
That goes to show you, man, baseball, they're okay with the deferred money.
Well, Dodgers.
The
big market teams are.
The small market teams.
The small market teams want a salary cap because right now, the Pittsburgh Pirates, they're basically a minor league team for the Dodgers, Yankees, Mets.
For the trade deadline, essentially.
Right.
Yeah.
Paul Skeens is going to play for the Pirates for another year or so, and then they're going to realize, hey, we can't pay him $700 million or whatever it would be when he hits free agency, so we're going to trade him with 3 years of team control left to get as much value back as we possibly can. But unless you kind of hit the lottery and find 10 prospects who are all good at the same time, those teams are never going to compete with the Mets, Dodgers, Yankees, all the big market teams. And I think another Dodgers World Series back-to-back with all the money that they've spent on Ohtani and Yamamoto and Freeman and Betts and Sasaki. Well, Sasaki at least wasn't super expensive because he was, I guess, a minor league addition. He was too young to get the big contract. But they're going to push for a salary cap. The players aren't going to just willingly give away hundreds of millions of dollars. I don't think we're going to get baseball in 2027.
Don't say that, Jake.
I just don't see it. Like, the lockout, it's going to happen. And I just don't know. I don't know how you institute a salary cap just what do you do with the previous contracts, right? Do they get grandfathered in until they expire? So, like, the Dodgers would still be fine for a while. It would just, you know, maybe 10 years down the road, it starts to even out.
Yeah, I think you grandfather those contracts in and or you restructure them to where they compensate for the salary cap.
Yeah.
So, basically, that deferred money is going to be deferred even further down the line.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do, but if the Dodgers win back-to-back after signing Shohei Ohtani to that deal, lockout. It's almost assured in 2027. And maybe it's not the full season, but if the Dodgers are lifting that trophy within the next couple weeks, I think it's pretty safe to say opening day of the 2027 season will not be on April 1st or whenever it's scheduled for.
Interesting. Even say this game goes full or game. Say this series goes a full seven. You still think 2027 if the Dodgers do win?
I don't think it's just purely based on this series, but you just the optics of it
doesn't look great.
The Dodgers went and tried to make a super team, and they rolled to two championships in a row. So I can't see there not being. I mean, after the Bryce Harper comments to Rob Manfred when he went into their locker room, like, the players aren't going to go for it. The owners, I don't think, are going to budge on a salary cap. There has to be some sort of compromise of maybe a shorter regular season. I don't know. But I cannot see them coming to some sort of compromise before the CBA starts taking games away.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it from a different perspective. I think it solely comes down to the structure of how you run your farm system. If your scouts are not great, fire them. I'm in the camp of I'm okay with the deferred money. I'm okay with the Dodgers winning a second World Series in a row back-to-back because that's how baseball's been. I'm an old head. I can't help it. I don't mind the deferred money. I don't mind the extra money over everything. Look, I'm a Cardinals fan. They were top dogs way back in the day, mid-2000s, early 2000s. Then the front office decided, you know what? We're not going to spend the top dollar for the best pitcher. We're not going to spend the top dollar for the best, you know, cornerstone right. Third baseman or first baseman. That's solely off of management.
Well, that's a very good point that I don't want it to come off like I'm blaming the Dodgers
right,
for this.
Right, right.
It's the small market team's fault that we're going to be in this situation.
Correct.
Because the Pirates and Athletics and even, you mentioned the Cardinals, the Detroit Tigers. Like, that is a team that when Mike Ilitch was the owner and he wanted a World Series before he died, there was no money they wouldn't spend. They went out and got everybody they could. But since he died and his son took over, his son seems pretty happy just collecting a paycheck and he's going to let Tarek Skubal walk. Like, it is the small market, the cheap owners who are going to cause this lockout to happen. Because the Dodgers don't want a salary cap. The Yankees don't want a salary cap. It's the owners who are saying, well, let's make it so we only have to spend $350 million a year tops. And guess what? We'll still make our money, and we don't get called cheap by the fan base because we can't spend $1 billion on a roster like the Dodgers and these other teams are.
Right. I mean, look at the Athletics, for example. When they get their new stadium in Las Vegas, I guarantee you they're going to spend buka amount of money to go after whatever name player it is at the time that's on a one-year deal or a player that's opting out of a contract, because more than likely the Athletics will be a top dog in Major League Baseball.
Well, the Athletics had to go sign players because they weren't going to spend enough money this year. It's crazy.
But they have a lot of young prospects now. And I think when you keep that core of your starting nine and you go after a really good bullpen, and I think that's what they're opting for, is they have a lot of good young talent already in their farm system and playing at the top nine right now. They just go after pitching.
Right.
And I think that's where they go from there. And again, they could spend their top dollar all they want.
You trade Mason Miller and get Leo DeVries back from the Padres. Like, that's a good point. And maybe the Athletics could be that team that breaks the mold of, like, hey, we did get 10 great prospects all at once, and we built around them with the limited resources that we have. But for the most part, I mean, the Angels and Dodgers playing in the same city, it shows you,
crazy.
Maybe the market doesn't matter as much as it does just, is the owner going to be cheap? And that's what's ruining baseball right now.
Look, after the Dodgers end their, and I know we go to break real quick, I'll make this quick statement. After the Dodgers are done winning the World Series, if it's this year, maybe a following year, whatever it may be, Father Time's undefeated. This team will age out.
But guess what? They'll go sign other players. Like, that's what baseball is. The Yankees and the Dodgers never have to rebuild because they just take the Pirates' best players every year.
That's true.
And, you know, the Marlins. And that's what baseball has become, that there are five teams that basically have the other 25 as their feeder system of like, yeah. Hey, we don't need to develop prospects because guess what? The Tigers have the best pitcher in baseball. They're not going to pay him. We will.
Yeah.
Now we have the best pitcher in baseball.
Handpick your litter, exactly.
It's, you know, just a quick tangent there. Quick rant of if the Dodgers are lifting that trophy, very likely we don't have baseball in 2027.
I hope you're wrong.
I hope I'm wrong, too.
I really do.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'd love to hear from you. Our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's get into college football on the other side. Vandy with game day coming to town. Top 15 matchup with Missouri. The Vols have an 18% chance to make the college football playoff right now after losing to Alabama over the weekend. We'll talk about both teams in state and their ability to make it to the college football playoff at the end of the year. And could we have a huge clash in Neyland Stadium coming up in November? Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly. Next man up, 102.5 The Game.